I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure. Well, hello, ladies. We are having a special edition of the month of El Amor y la Amistad, which is, you know, Valentine's month. And but I wanted to specifically talk about the relationships that we have as adult women with just having girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And I hear a lot about how hard it is to have relationships with women in adulthood. And I hear a lot about it, but I it's not my experience. I've had long-term relationships as adults, and not that they have been void of, let me tell you something, sometimes a little fight, right. You know, mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked through it and managed to do it and moved on. So I wanted to talk about your relationship because it's four of you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so
really
there
spicy.
Has to be a lot of water under those bridges.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I will go ahead and ask each one of you to introduce yourself, and you can say as little or as much as you want about yourselves that you want people to know. And then so we'll start, Leslie. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a regular, but
right. No,
you can
I'm
go
regular.
Ahead and you can lead your the way.
Yes.
With your friends.
So, yes. So. Yep. So this, I'm Leslie, and you all know me from the regular monthly podcast, and I am from the Bronx, and these are all my girlfriends. So I'm so excited to have them here because this is not what they do at all. And so this is a moment in stepping out into bravery. So I'm so excited to just share my friendships with you all because they're amazing, amazing women.
Jackie. Awesome.
So I'm Jackie. I'm also originally from the Bronx, and I now live in New Jersey. My husband and I have two kids. I have a teenager, 13-year-old, and an almost 6-year-old, and we just adopted a little puppy. She's 7 months old, so I think our family is complete now.
Is she a quarantine puppy?
Yes.
I've heard a lot of people
get
quarantine puppies. They're like, well, what better time than this?
Exactly.
All right, Margarita.
So I'm Margarita, also originally from the Bronx, and now I live on Long Island, married with now two cats and a dog, and I was a foster mom for a little bit last year, so that was my experience with children.
Mm. Aw, that's lovely. I'm very honored that you would choose to serve our children in that way. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Yes. And then Monica, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. From Brooklyn originally, live in California now with my husband. We've been married for 18 years, two kids. My son is 16 and my daughter's 11, almost 12. And we have a bearded dragon because my son has horrible allergies. And we're looking to address that because my daughter's begging for a dog. So we're going to see how that goes. We're going to, you know, revisit the allergists and the shots and that kind of stuff. But for now, I'm a stay-at-home mom, especially since we just moved out here and it's during COVID. There's not, you know, a lot to do out here. The kids are homeschooling, so it's a lot at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California, I've heard, is it's pretty tight, pretty tough. Are you in one of those sectors that's really tight?
I'm in Riverside County, so I live in Marietta, which is a little bit north of San Diego, and LA County is about an hour and a half away, I've heard, because I really don't know the lay of the land very well. So LA County is doing horribly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, down here, I refer to it as the Wild Wild West, because when we first got here, COVID was not taken seriously, I feel. I think it's gotten a little bit better, more mask wearing, more respect, you know, and distancing and that kind of stuff. But people are still going out to eat, eating in restaurants and doing things that are a little too close for comfort for my taste.
Yes.
So
gotcha.
That's that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So why don't you tell us a brief history of how you all became friends and how you maintained that through the years.
Sure. So this is Leslie. And so Jackie and Margie and I have been friends since high school. So we met each other in 1989 and we have been friends for 32 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that was a little crazy. I went away to college, and these girls stayed here, and then we reconnected again after college, and we have been with each other ever since. Then Monica came in 18 years ago when she married Margie's husband's friend from high school, if you could follow. And so they reconnected, and they lived in the same neighborhood, and so Monica kind of joined our little crew, and we've been friends ever since. And so we all lived in the city. Margie and Jackie and I lived in the Bronx for a long time, and Monica lived in Queens, and then everyone started moving. Monica moved to Rochester, and then Jackie moved, and then Margie moved, and I'm the lone one here in the Bronx still. And we've just been friends ever since, and we've maintained a close friendship for all those years. So yeah, it's amazing.
So what would you say drew you to each other?
I would say in high school, Jackie was a stalker. She still is. Jackie was the stalker of the group, and then Margie and I became close. Remember Margie at prom? We went to the same seamstress to get our prom dresses made in senior year, and so we started, really got connected then, and then we just reconnected like right after college, I think. That's a great question. I don't know what drew us together.
And because we were pretty different in high school. We were all part of like different cliques, if you will, but we still Jackie in junior year, we had every single class together, and her locker was next to me. So that's what solidified that year. So we became inseparable. And she was she's smarter than I am, so she really helped me through the grades.
Stalker, yes, and smart.
Stalker,
do you work
and
for
smart,
some
yes,
kind
smart
of, you know? FBI,
well, I will say that Margie was part of the cool clique. Margie,
yes,
was a cool girl.
Yes,
not. Yes. I was. I think part of like the nerdier crew. Margie was much more cooler than I was.
Yes, so was I. I was in the honors classes with the nerds, and yeah, I wasn't cool. No.
Oh, so she was. She was your little segue into the other side.
Yeah, not even. I don't even think they let us in. He was just gracious and let us be her friend. But yeah,
too kind.
Great.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
And then Monica by default.
Yeah,
like we want.
Well, listen, there are plenty of relationships that you're just like, well, it's great that I'm, you know, part. I'm in here now, but it doesn't mean I want to be your friends, because you know,
right.
It can be crazy. Mm-hmm. So how about that, Monica? What drew you to join them in this friendship that was already formed?
Yeah, it was formed. Yeah. It was a little nerve-wracking. Margie, you know, and I hung out first, and then I heard about Leslie and Jackie for a few months and finally got to meet them, and we all just kind of clicked. Margie's very welcoming, very warm. As we were just like recanting with each other that I met her a few weeks or maybe a month or two before I got married. And my husband and her husband had grown up together, and she came to my rehearsal dinner. She came to my wedding. Leslie and Jackie, unfortunately, did not, because I didn't know them
invited
yet. I didn't know you yet.
We're still a little bitter about that.
But, you know, they've just been fun. Part of my backstory is that I'm adopted. So while I am Latina, I'm Colombian. I wasn't raised by a Hispanic family. I had a very diverse background. And they bring out the Latina in me, as my son said the other day. There he goes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
that's great. I love that. So what would you ladies say that helped you be better people to each other? Like, you've been friends for a long time, so you've grown up together. I mean, we're talking about high school, which we know nothing, even though we think we do. And then, you know, there's that 1920, 21, when we really are just kind of figuring out life, right? And and then, you know, as women, I think we're mature a little bit earlier than guys, but, you know, then we get to a point, it's just like, okay, you know, I'm adulting here now. How did you, when you look back now, you see that was so pivotal in your relationship as you were maturing into the women that you are now?
I would say honesty.
Go ahead, girl.
With each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not, it's emotional. I don't know why.
I can't. It's okay.
It seems silly to me. I have two sisters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have two sisters and I'm not close to the book. I'm close to one, but she's 61. So there's a huge age gap. And there were years and years where I was not friends with her. So thankfully we have come around and we are, but I have another sister who I don't even speak to. And these ladies are my sisters that I connect to. Sorry.
That was horrible. No, it's authentic. You know, I was, one of the things that we were talking about before getting on is that we had a disagreement a few years ago and I didn't speak to Jackie and Monica for a year. And it was a very difficult year for me. I missed them terribly, but I needed that year to grow and evolve. I did grow a lot. And I think we all did. And what that did was really, for me, strengthen our relationship. And I enjoy the authentic relationships because, you know, growing up, like they said, I was in cliques all over the place. I had acquaintances and friends and best friends everywhere, but the authentic relationship where you can actually talk about things that you may not share with others is very important to me at this stage of my life. And the fact that they can now be honest with me, and it's not always what I want to hear, but they're honest in a loving way, and that I know it's love and it's from the best place. And that to me is priceless. Authenticity.
Share with our listeners what it is about having a huge conflict that could have potentially just like ended your relationship and being able to come back. What do you see now how did it strengthen your relationship? What happened that it got to that point? Whoever, yeah.
Yeah, can I just, this is right when I started my relationship with Christ, and I remember feeling stuck in the middle. Oh, yeah. I love my girls. These are my girls. And I was like, I understand what's going on. And I understand from this. So I would hear from one side and the other side. And it was like, and I remember it was right at the start of my relationship with Christ. And I really wanted to say so much. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me say anything. And that was the first time that I kind of understood, because Margie needed to work this out. And I didn't understand that, but I'm like, I really want to say this. Like, I think they need to hear this. But it wasn't my place. And I've never been that person. I'm going to tell you, you know what I think. I'm going to tell you my opinion. And it was the first time, you know, that I heard, don't say anything, because they had, there was something that, and just even our friendship needed to evolve, and grow and mature. And I learned from that, in that, you know, sometimes even in conflict, it's not always an opinion. Some people really need to just sort of, you know, work out those, whatever issues they have. And so it was a really difficult time, because I was also pregnant.
Oh yeah.
I think that I was also pregnant.
And the baby shower brought us together finally.
It was like baby shower. Together. Yeah. Yeah. It was a crazy time. But Margie, you wanted to.
Well, let me say something, because I'm listening to you, and you know, there's no formula to friendships and relationships. We're also different. We just have to go with who we are at the moment and different things. But I love, you know, the fact to keep in mind that sometimes we have to let our friends figure it out.
Yeah.
And say nothing sometimes is exactly what needs to happen, and still be willing to be there when they come back.
Right.
Or whatnot, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, or if leaving is exactly what I'm thinking of, but just when, you know, the person has walked their journey, and then be able to come back and be like, okay, I learned some things.
Right.
So I love that. I think I love it even more, because it's totally opposite of how you normally show up or who you are with your friends.
Right. Right.
Because, you know, you say things, mm-hmm. and, you know, and this time it was a time to just be quiet. So that's lovely. Mm-hmm. Jacqueline or Monica, want to add anything?
Yeah. Looking back, you know, because it happened so many years ago. It happened probably 13 years ago, because we were...
Olivia, yeah.
I guess we're pregnant.
Around the same time.
We got pregnant, yeah.
That it just reinforces just like how the tongue is such a powerful weapon because, you know, things got misconstrued, or Monica and I may have said things, you know, that we had no business discussing. And so just like how the tongue is just such a powerful weapon, and you don't even realize, like, you know, you say things and you're not even realizing how you may be hurting someone else.
Yeah.
That, I think, was the biggest lesson for me too. Just, we just said, you know what, we are going to respect and honor each other. Because again, I don't think it's necessarily a malicious. I mean, we were 13 years is a long time. We were younger, right?
Yes.
But it is when we're young, and you know, and that's you know, again, it is a powerful tongue. It's the strongest muscle, right, in the body, and the ability to cut. And I was always very sarcastic. And I remember when I heard in the Greek, you know, that cut the flesh, and it was like, wow. So I think, you know, just the maturity from that moment to say, we are deciding that as of today, we're rekindling, or, you know, this friendship, and these are the ground rules. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the respect that we will have for each other going forward. And to me, I just, you know, it really was, it needed to happen. It was painful. And, you know, at the time, and especially when Leslie would say the Holy Spirit is telling him to be quiet. And I just didn't want to accept that, because all we did, we always talked. And I'm like, no, but you know, but God knew that this is what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
And we have been stronger because of it. We were
closer.
Yeah.
Closer. Because now even when there are disagreements, or even when there are things, and if I'm talking to Jackie about it, it's not in a malicious way. It's like, I just need to say this, because I don't know how to handle it, or I don't know where this person is coming from, or what's happening. And it's not like, oh, let me tell you what's going on. It's more like, well, you know, well, what's your issue with it, and what's going on? And instead of gossiping about it, it's more helping me figure out what the issue is, and so that I can then approach the person or whatever. And so I definitely think, I know for me, it's my relationship with Christ. I definitely know that that has changed me completely, in that I don't, you know, I remember my sister telling me, gossip, when you gossip about in your friendships, you're letting the devil in. Mm-hmm. You're letting the devil in into that space, and you've got to protect, especially if you have a group of women that you love and you cherish. If the moment you gossip, the moment you just do those things, you're just letting the devil in. And when he's in, he just causes havoc. And I'll never forget, because I asked her, like, right around that time was when she said that, and it was like such a visual. Like, wow, wait a minute, he's in and he's causing havoc, but we got this, because Jesus is in the middle of this, right? And so it's with friendship, you have to decide, if these are people that you cherish, you've got to honor them. You've got to honor them, especially if you want them there.
Yeah. What would you say helps you now be honest and keep the gossip out and just address things more directly? Like what was created?
I think maturity for sure, because we're now all women of a certain age.
Yeah.
I think we're a lot more mature. I think we're a lot more honest when we speak with one another. You know,
from that experience, dealing with that situation.
Coming from a place of love, like just always, you know, not, it's always not what you say, but how you say it. It's not being abrupt. It's trying to come from a place of love. Because these are my sisters, and they're my sisters. Life, you know, they've been through.
So would you say that through that experience now you trust each other more?
Yes.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, they know things that other people don't know about me, for sure.
Yeah. How have you dealt with insecurities within the group, not your own personal insecurities, and then bringing that to the relationship? How has that Ooh, Leslie struck.
All my good question.
Well, I mean,
we don't have any insecurities, right?
We're perfect. Like, I never even thought about that. That's a great question. Margie, did you want to say something?
Well, our own insecurity. Well, because I remember, I remember having moments where of that a little bit of jealousy, like, wait a minute, why is Jackie, you know, Monica's godmother to the children, and vice versa, when I know you longer and I've been here. And again, it was 13 years ago when we were still like in those moments of those, in those feelings. And so that was for me, that insecurity of like, am I not good enough? I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not, you know, all those messages that have come from childhood and from, you know, that affect you in so many areas of your life, and you don't even realize, I'm not good enough to cook, to this, to be, you know, so I think that a certain moments, you know, I remember feeling some certain way and then kind of talking through it. And they're like,
I forgot about that. That's right. Because there's four of us, but my and Jackie talk a lot more. And me and Margie talk a lot more.
Into the camera.
Yeah, so there definitely is a moment that was years ago. I totally forgot that. I never thought about sort of insecurities in the relationships. That's a great question.
Well, yeah, we bring them. I mean, we bring them into relationships. We bring them to work. We bring in, I mean, our insecurities just spill over in all areas of our life. It's just we are able to manage them better depending on the threat level, right? And so, you know, it's not any less with friendships. And so, you know, I'm here thinking of if we are unaware and then the trust level isn't there, then that can create major conflict and friction and, you know, lack openness for sure. I was curious, you know, about that aspect. And then on the same vein, you know, there are things that there are gifts that God gave each of you and, you know, ways that he made you. So I want to talk a bit about that. I want you to hear what you see in each other. What are your gifts? What are your strengths? So Leslie, you share from each, you know, about each of them, and then we'll go around and you each share about each other.
Sure. So Jackie is the person you go to when you want to cry. She's the more emotional one out of all of us. So when there's, if you need to cry, she will cry with you no matter what it is. Something happened. Oh my God, she's the one crying with you. She's the one with all the emotions to go through every single thing, and you need that. I'm not necessarily an emotional person. But with her, I feel okay doing it because she's right there with me. Monica, I love her heart. She's so family oriented. And I don't even know, Monica, if you even realize there was one time we went to her house. We would take these excursions to Monica's house. It's hours away when she lived in Rochester. And I remember one time, I don't even remember what time we went, but I was so stressed. I was in a really bad part. And the girl started making fun of me, as we all do, because my legs were so ashy. I'm the darkest one. And the girls, of course, oh my goodness, you look dead. Oh, your ass is so bad. They made fun of me like nobody. But Monica was like, I got you. She went and got lotion. And she sat on the floor and lotion my leg. Like, to this day, that's her heart. That's her heart. And I mean, I've never, it was the most humbling experience. I love her heart. She's amazing. Margie, oh my gosh. Margie is my sounding board. I remember when there was a season where I was really anxious. And I would always call her to talk me off the ledge. Margie, talk me off the ledge. She'd be like, all right. For everything, when I was going through stuff at work, when I was going through, it was always like my sounding board, my conscience, and just the person that I know that I can always go to for just, not only straight talk, but just, you know, balanced. Like, okay, well, let's, you know, she and I are a lot alike in that, but she's very balanced. And so whenever I would go through something, you know, or need to just share my heart, or just, you know, she's the one that's been there. Because again, so I'm gonna keep crying if I don't stop. But I love these girls. I do.
Look at her, the one that's not emotional has brought out her. This is great.
No, this is for maturity. Because when I was in high school, I never cried. This is maturity. But yeah, so that's what I love about them. That's what I love about them.
That's great. Who wants to go next? Oh, Jacqueline.
She's going to cry.
It's okay.
No, I'm the crier. And listen, I think I'm like the baby Christian. So I'm the crier, but I will also pack a weapon and get in the car and drive to wherever you if need be.
Oh my God, that's right. Jackie is loyal and will, yes.
Yes. She'll show up with a shovel. Uh-huh.
She will. And help you get it.
Yes.
Precisely.
Leslie, my love language is words of affirmation, and Leslie feeds my love language. Like, if I call her it's always like always loving words, always. And so she feeds that my love language, the words of affirmation. And I love her for that. You know, anytime I talk to the girls, I always feel great after I talk to them. Margie gives it to me straight, right? Like, if we're talking about something and I'm like all over the place, and you know, and she's like, well, maybe that's how you're seeing it is not exactly what's going on, right? So she like gives it to me straight, and I'm like, yeah, you know what, you're right. Who would have thought you'd be the voice of reason out of the four of us? Reason.
Nice.
Maybe I shouldn't go pack that shovel in the car just yet. You know, maybe I need to take a step back. And with Monica, just like Leslie said, like Monica's like, she's so loving. She's so giving. I think she's like the mom of the group.
Mm-hmm. She's an amazing
caretaker.
I'm the oldest one. That's not nice.
Quiet.
By a month, relax.
By a month.
I know. Calm down. Margaritas?
Sure. So, oh my goodness. Yeah, I was like a laundry list, but for Jackie, definitely her humor. Oh my gosh. She can make anything. Gosh.
Yes. Sorry, I'm sorry, but I agree. Oh my gosh, she's so funny.
She can make anything. Death, and she'll make you laugh. It's like, wow, okay. So if you want to laugh, if you want to get out of your head, call Jackie, and a great heart. We're both animal lovers, and to be an animal lover, you have to have a good heart, you know? So that's my girl. Then Leslie, I'm surprised. She makes Jackie cry, and so comforting to her, because she gives me tough love. And I think she knows that I need that, but I'm like, wait a minute. I want something that gentle. No, and definitely an encourager. I mean, you know, when I'm all over the place and I need to know, okay, I'm struggling and I don't want to hear the truth, but I know who's going to give me the truth, that's Leslie. So I'll call her up and it's, you know, straight shooter, but just an encourager, and so many, just amazing. And she's been my, you know, she went to Christ before I did. And so I know she prayed for us to come along, and I'm so grateful because she's also been the one that I talk to on my journey, you know, as I grow in my faith. And Monica, I just, you know, I wrote down quiet strength because, you know, she's just so, and gentleness. So she's gentle and loving, and just, she, you know, as you see, we're trying to contain ourselves, but the three of us speak really loudly. but Monica doesn't need to do that. She's gentle, and she is understanding. And really, when I need that, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's just, okay, you know, so quiet strength. My girls, I love you all.
That's beautiful. All right, Nana, your turn.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I can speak. Well, Margie, you know, just her heart and welcoming me into the group was amazing, because through high school, I switched high schools midway. So freshman and sophomore year were one place, junior and senior another, and that's a hard transition at that age. So I never had that little click. And this is my click here. So Margie just was welcoming, and she's honest, and she's, you know, she tells you what you want. She knows what she wants. You know, she helps you get what you want. If you're not going to express it, she'll express it for you. If you let her know, you know, if I don't want to say it, she'll say it for me. Leslie, you know, just honesty and strength and organization. And years ago we did this, I don't know, I think it was just the four of us in your apartment. We did this whole like vision kind, I guess it was like a vision board exercise. And I
workshop, yes.
You remember?
Yes, yeah.
I finally applied to I'm an LPN. I did that after my son was born, and it kind of gave me, because I need a lot of pushing, and I need that gentle kind of loving push, and that's what that whole exercise with these three ladies did for me. And Jackie, like Leslie said, we kind of do pair off a little bit. Jackie and me talk a little bit more, Margie and Leslie. And I think prior to that incident with us, that was a point of contention for us. Like, it was a little bit like, well, why do you talk to her more? And why do you do this? And why do you do that? And after we had that, And Leslie, thank God it was Leslie that was the one in the middle, because I don't think Jackie and I could have been in the middle. I don't think Margie could have been in the, I don't think anybody could have handled it and kept us together the way Leslie did. But Jackie's just, you know, like everybody said, she's funny, she's smart, she's ride or die. She'll beat anybody down. If you just, anybody that you know that you love, if they're hurt and you tell her, she's coming for somebody, even if they're 11 years old.
45.
Equal opportunity. Equal opportunity.
These hands are waiting for everyone.
Yes.
She's ready.
Always ready. Always ready to help you. But they're amazing. Yeah. And they're my sisters. I have two that I don't have this kind of relationship with. And I'm very grateful to have the bond with them that I do.
So let me ask you this question, Monica. Because you came into the group later, what advice would you give to you know, the women listening as to how to best welcome newcomers into an already well-established group of friendships? And what does that do? What did it do for you?
Well, I think for me, it was just, you know, I didn't have to be something I wasn't. I didn't, you know, and I still don't. The three of them are, you know, involved in church, and I'm not. I wasn't brought up in a religious background in a household. And while it comes up in discussions, and sometimes I feel like I'm out of the loop, they never make me feel badly about it. And they never pressure me to do anything that I'm not ready to do for myself and my own time. And I never felt myself as strong, but I guess just being yourself with them is the best way to be. If you put up a facade or you're going to be fake, it's, you know, they're going to see right through you. It's just being open and being who you are. And in the beginning, I thought it was going to be really tough because, like I said, I knew Margie and we'd hung out a bunch of times as couples with our husbands. And then when she was bringing me and, you know, telling me about the girls and I want you to meet them, I was like, oh, this is going to be like, whoa. But here I am, 45, living across the country, and I'm on Facebook, like, trying to join these groups and find, and obviously I'm not going to find them, but I need to have, like, a little bit of a circle here. And I've never, I think I'm friendly, but my husband says I have RBF. So he was like, if you could only see your face, that's why nobody talks to you. And I'm like, really? So I don't know, but it's hard to make the relationships. And you know, now I feel like I'm going through that again since I'm out here, because I, as much as they are supportive and we have things like Zoom and, you know, texting, we text constantly. And that's so helpful for me with this move to have the connection with them. You know, just to be yourself, be true to yourself. And, you know, if you meet the ones that are true to themselves, I think you kind of bond.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what about you ladies? What would you say to others about the importance of welcoming, you know, women and how you yourselves were welcoming?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize you're in a clique. And I think that even with me, Margie, Jackie, we would always get together in different people's homes, and we had a strong clique, because it's just not us. It was like a whole group that we would always hang out. And it was always a reminder, girls, we're in a clique. You know, like, we can't, you know, because when you're in a clique, where, you know, you just talk and it's all day and it's, and so when someone else comes in, you may not recognize that, and it's hard to penetrate. And I think that it's important to recognize that you're in a clique and recognize that when there are new people, that you have to be open and welcome them. You can't, especially if you're at a party or if you're, you know, with other people. I think just recognizing that this is a clique and it's hard to get in, and then just being open to saying, hi, come on, sit down with us. Let's talk. Where are you from? And just being open to conversations with other people outside of your clique, because it's hard. And I know that we didn't welcome everyone in our clique. We have not.
Still this done.
Not, we still
Margie's don't. Sister still isn't part
oh,
of it.
Oh, Margie's sister. Oh, even my sister still. We're trying to get in. We're like, no. Yes. No. Or even Michelle. Jackie, Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, no. Oh, no. 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 Sorry.
Maybe we need to work on welcoming people a little bit.
No. When we're out and about, yes. We will talk to you. But to be in this clique, no. That's crazy. No.
Well, there is certain wisdom about letting, you know, it's it is wise to, I call my friendship circles of friendships. I have my like ride and die group, and there's four. Gosh, if I'm leaving somebody, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, because we're close, you know, if somebody feels left out, you know, we'll be good. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we won't talk to each other for a year, who knows. But anyway, so I have my, you know, and then there's that another outer circle, rings, like a bullseye, mm-hmm. and those levels of friendship. But mm-hmm. I do think there's a certain amount of wisdom in how much you share and how deep about yourself and opening up yes. to too many people. That's not healthy sure. either. Mm-hmm, so sure. there's levels, I call them levels of friendships. I have this running joke with this one woman I met online, and I've met her in person. But we were talking one day about something and over Marco Polo. So we Marco Polo and the app. And she said something about, well, I'm not sure where we stand as friends. I said, oh, you're some type of friend. So you're in there.
You're getting
so
there.
Now, we're, you know, we talk and she's like, yeah, because, you know, we're some kind of friends. And I said, yeah, we're some kind of friends. Yeah. And I was like, no. I said, you're not my ride or die group. I mean, no. mm-hmm. You don't do life with me. Like, those are my people that are like here, except one long distance person that I have. But the other ones are here. Like, I drive to their house. They come to my house. Mm-hmm. Oh, our husbands right. know each other, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of my fears when we moved, you know, because Monica was the first one to move away. We lived like two blocks away from each other. So we were getting our nails and we're like in each other's lives all the time. And I remember being so afraid when she moved that I was going to lose that connection and thinking, oh my gosh, we're not. Because when you're not in each other's lives daily, those friendships can fizzle out. And I think I'm so appreciative that we do text every day and really try to communicate. And every once in a while, I'm like, all right, let's get on the phone. Let's do a Zoom so we can really talk and make sure that we know what's going on in each other's lives because that's the fiber. That's what keeps it going.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to fall away from any of them. So,
yeah.
How open are you to having deep, close relationships like within your like 15 minute radius is what I call it, like closer in? Are you at this point, like, I got these girls, I'm done? Or are you open to having like a girlfriend or two that's like in person?
Yeah.
Now, I think you know.
I think that we have to because we are all in different places. And so I'm actually grateful that Jackie has, you know, wonderful neighbors and friends where she is. And Margie has her church. And Monica, we hoping for good friends in California. But she had friends in Rochester. And I have my friends. I have, you know, women from my daughter's school that I'm really good friends with. Because you kind of have to do life in your circle, like in your immediate circle, right? You know, people who I can talk to about what's happening here, right? So I think that we've gotten, because we used to make comments whenever we heard someone talking about a friend. It was like, oh, we got another friend?
Who's that?
You know? So we went through a real portion of time where we were always like jealous of, wait a minute, you have another friend, who's that? And I think because again, the fear of, somebody sort of infiltrating this friendship. But I think now we appreciate the people that they do have because I can't be there. You know, if Jackie was recently sick, I'm not close, right? So I can't bring her chicken soup. I can't take care of her. And I'm grateful that other people are there. Or Margie has her church and Monica will have friends in California. We say that out loud, you know? Yes. So I'm grateful that people are able to support them because I can't. Right. And it's hard as a friend knowing that your friend is going through something and you can't be there. You can't be the one to be like, Mija, come because this is happening. And so I'm actually now at this point grateful that they have their friends outside of our relationship that can serve that purpose. But what we have is special. That's different. That's, you know, that's the everyday. What we have is really different.
Yeah. How about any of you want to piggyback on that or add to it?
I think she said it all. I mean, you know, obviously with my new move, I don't have a little outside kind of bubble. I did in Rochester. I did have some friends. My husband had a college buddy and I became friends with the wife. And she was somebody that was open and honest. Although when the girls met her, they were like, not quite. You know, like we could see her. She can't come hang out the whole time we're there, you know. But she really helped. No, she helped my just... the everyday, like Leslie said, to have somebody that can be there with you, you know, at that exact moment and just kind of reach out. So hopefully I'll get that here. I'm sure I will, but COVID makes it even worse. So
yeah.
Yeah. COVID has jacked up everything.
Yeah. It sure has.
Narcissist.
Wants all the attention.
Oh, gosh, I had a question. It just escaped me. I was going to ask. Oh, Latinas. I was going to say, as Latinas, would you say that there's a difference in like openness to relationships than in other cultures? Or are we just women and it's just...
I think as Latinas, one thing that I find very critical of our culture is the gossip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are a culture that loves chisme. Mm-hmm. And we're still the first to be like, let me tell you what happened, what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's so cultural.
And, it is.
If we're raised that way, you know, depending on your family, you see it growing up. It's within our culture. That's why we follow People magazine, you know, like it's just I think within the Latino culture, it's something that's just so ingrained. And I think that also messed up our relationship, you know? And so I think as Latinas, we had to find the common things that we have, that we love about our culture, and then really begin removing those things that just don't serve us as friendships. And I think that the chisme, the gossip was definitely one thing that we had to, that's culturally part of us and that we had to really get rid of.
Yeah, I understand that. A lot of times I have to tell myself, like, okay, would I be telling this to this person right now if they were sitting here? Like,
right.
You know, and I constantly tell myself, you know, or if somebody else is talking, have you talked to that person first yet? Or, you know, that kind of, you know, going back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I understand what you're saying completely, because there are a certain amount of, and it's funny because it's so cultural, that's almost like the water cooler chat. Like, right. I don't really think that anybody would sit there and call it out as gossip. I mean, really, like, mm-hmm. It's just so cultural that it's just like, we just talk about whatever, you know?
Right. And you just talk about each other or talk about the person as soon as they leave the room. Like, let me tell you. And it's just, I think it's part of our culture. And I don't think we think about it until it ruined our relationships. Then it was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and again, like what my sister said in wisdom, you know, when you allow the devil into your space, he causes havoc. And you have to learn, as Margie said, you have to decide, I'm going to honor this person. And when you honor them, you don't use your tongue to, you know, create that scandal, you know, you talk to them. So, yeah.